On this fifth Sunday of Lent, we're just 1 week away from beginning Holy Week on Palm Sunday, the beginning of the most important week and time in our entire liturgical year. And traditionally, this Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Lent, has also been known as Passion Sunday, marking the beginning of the 2 weeks of Passiontide, the period spanning the period from today to the resurrection of Jesus on Easter. That is why all the statues, the crucifix, are now veiled here in church. That we use the veils to alert us of the special time that we are in. That when we walk into church and notice everything is covered, that we immediately know something is different. That these last 2 weeks of Lent are meant to be a time of immediate preparation, of that finally getting ready, to finish getting ready for the sacred triduum. And these veils are a forceful reminder to do so. And at this occasion, therefore, the Lord wants each and every one of us to delve deeper into the mystery of his passion, of his suffering and death on the cross, as we approach the time when we will commemorate the most important events of our history, the time when God himself willingly gave himself all and fulfilled the promise that he had made with our ancestors, the promise of salvation and liberation from sin, the promise of freedom from tyranny of Satan and sin, and to make with us a new and everlasting covenant. That's why today's scripture readings focus on the love and mercy of God being shown and made evident before us. That from the promises that God made to his people through the prophet Isaiah that we heard in our first reading today, we reminded them of the many wonderful things he had performed and done before them since the time of their ancestors, and how he has loved and blessed them ever since. That God wanted to show his people that his love and mercy are ever trustworthy and ever good. And then the Lord showed it firsthand through what we heard in our gospel passage. That when Jesus was confronted by the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, who wanted to corner and trap him in an impossible situation by bringing into his presence a woman who had been caught in the very act of adultery and asking him what should be done to that woman, with that woman. That their plotting and opposition were truly sinister and wicked. And let us go through why, the reason why they were doing it, why it is so sinister and wicked. Now, first of all, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were hoping that Jesus would side with the woman who had been caught in that sin, based on how he has often spent his time in the company of sinners, spending his time with tax collectors and such, with people who were sick with various diseases, people who were considered unclean in body and in spirit, all those who have been spurned and rejected by society, looked down upon as sinners. And if the Lord sided with the woman by forgiving her outright and ignoring whatever the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had accused her for, then they quickly could seize on the opportunity and discredit Jesus, labeling him as a friend of sinners and as a blasphemer for allowing the sin to continue to exist. Because the sin was clearly against the law of Moses. The law of Moses prescribed for the sin that she was to be stoned to death. This would immediately brought about a great problem for Jesus, who would lose his credibility, his following, and even the trust of the people. That he could even be condemned by the authorities for such an action, by breaking the law of Moses. But then, if Jesus so chose to punish the woman in accordance with that law, with the Jewish customs, with what is in the Torah, then the Pharisees and the teachers of the law would also seize upon the opportunity to enhance their own position and prestige by pointing out that in the end, Jesus was no different from them and was probably just a usurper and a fake who's trying to seize the teaching authority, seize their position and power from the Sanhedrin, from the Jewish elite. And that he would also have ended up in trouble for this action, because it was also illegal for them to condemn someone to death. Only the Roman authorities could do that. And so clearly Jesus was trapped and cornered by their action. But we go and see the Lord make a move that his enemies did not anticipate. That he goes and asks one of them who is without sin to cast the first stone for the punishment of adultery according to the law. But that the people, though, gradually leave when they hear that. Because they all have gone and committed a sin. They all have sin on them. Beginning with the oldest and moving to the youngest. Now what we just heard and witnessed from the story in our gospel is the sad reality of our human life. Of our actions towards one another. That we like to point out the shortcomings and faults in others. We want to see others fail. We find joy in causing hurt and suffering in others. Just because we hate or dislike the other person. Or think that we're better than them. That's how the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were capable of doing such a wicked act. In trying to frame and discredit Jesus. By trapping him in what seemed to be an impossible situation. But the Lord knew all that was going on in their minds. He knew their plots, their thoughts. And surely, he must have been very sad to see so many of his chosen people, the people of his covenant, condemning sinners and being selfish in their attitude towards them. That we see today the great mercy of God, as we saw how Jesus was merciful towards the woman caught in that adultery. That when all the people wanted to condemn her had left, and no one threw the stone at her, the Lord told her to go, change her life, no longer sin, but obey God's will from then on. And the just as none had condemned her in the end, he himself said that neither did he condemn her. This is a reminder to each and every one of us that first of all, each and every one of us are sinners. That all of us are in need of God's help and healing. For otherwise, sin will be our undoing. That no one can heal us from our sins except for God. That is he alone who is able to forgive us from our sins, restore us to the state of grace, restore us back to that sanctified relationship, that life with him. That it's the Jesus who forgives you of your sins in the confessional. Not me, not Father Saunders. It is Jesus acting through us, his power flowing through us when we say those words of absolution, cleansing us from that sin. Because sin is indeed a very dangerous disease that is slowly destroying us, corrupting us from the inside out, often without us realizing it. And that is why, through today's passages, we're reminded to come and seek God's forgiveness and mercy. And then, as we are all sinners, none of us have any rights to condemn and be judgmental on others, just as the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had done, in wanting to condemn the woman to death, having that sinister intention to discredit Jesus by using that opportunity. That is why Jesus said, "Let the one who is without sin cast the first stone." This reminds us that before we accuse others and try to make others look bad or suffer, or punishing them for their faults, we must always try to contemplate deep in our hearts and think whether we have sinned or have done the same fault ourselves. That we need to admit that we ourselves are not perfect, that we ourselves are in need of the same healing that the other person is also in need of. That often we think others need to change to suit us, what we want, what we expect of them. But how many of us actually stop to think that we ourselves are in need of change, of a similar change in our own lives? That when we allow ego and pride to take charge of our thoughts and actions, we'll end up doing exactly what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had been doing. Let us instead follow the example of Christ, who forgave and healed the woman from her sins, that he told her to go and sin no more. And that is what we should be doing as well, that God is so merciful and loving towards us, even towards his enemies, that when he was on the cross, he forgave them of their sins, of those who had condemned him. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing. That he, the perfect one, is willing to take up our imperfections, our sins, and be punished for them, all because of his love and mercy towards us. Are we able to follow Christ's loving example in our own actions in life? Are we able to reach out to all those whom we have hurt or who have hurt us and forgive each other? This is one of the important challenges that we should take up in this remaining time of Lent as we prepare ourselves to enter into the mystery of the Passion, to enter into the suffering and death of our Lord on the cross. That it's essentially all about God's love and generous mercy towards us. Let us all look towards the cross of Christ, to our crucified Lord. Let us look at how wounded he is and realize that each and every one of those wounds are our own sins. That God has willingly taken on himself. That each and every one of us may be healed, may be forgiven. Let us all be ashamed of our sinfulness and use that to run to the confessional, to run to God's love and mercy. That with that hope that Christ will heal us from our sins, instead of being prideful and judgmental to each other, let us help each other overcome the temptations of sin by loving and forgiving at all times, as Christ our Lord has done himself. That way we can live out that life afterwards, as the adulterous woman did, because she's Mary Magdalene. That afterwards she became that disciple of Christ, followed him to the cross, became that first witness of the glory of the resurrection. That afterwards she lived out her life as a hermit, growing more in that relationship with Christ until she died of old age. That she truly followed out our Lord's command that he gives to us today. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore.